years to proclaim the good news that Jesus is the King who
pre-existed as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as final judge to rule.
Amen. Do you believe any of that?
Oh,
yes. Do you believe any of that?
Yes.
And whenever we're going through anything, should we worry about anything?
No.
Trust in the Lord.
No. We learned that yesterday.
We getting here. All right. Y'all know the words of this. Our junior praise leader's not with us right now.
This is how I fight.
me today is found in Psalm 93. Let's read this together.
The Lord is King. He is robed in majesty. Indeed, the Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. The world stands firm and cannot be shaken. Your throne, O Lord, has stood from time immemorial. You yourself are from an everlasting past. The floods have risen up, O Lord. The floods have lifted their pounding waves. But mightier than the violent raging of the seas, mightier than the breakers on the shore, the Lord above is mightier than these.
Yes.
Your royal laws cannot be changed. Your reign, O Lord, is holy forever and ever.
Amen. And Father, we are here today to proclaim these things, that you are King, that you and you alone are holding everything together in the world. No matter how crazy it gets around us, we know that it cannot be shaken unless you move it. It cannot be removed unless you stop it.
Yes.
It cannot stop spinning unless you say stop. So we're coming acknowledging that we're surrounded by the one who can do this. The one who we can bring all our cares and all our concerns and all our just doubts and anything we have to your feet. And know that you're a Father who loves us, you want to hear from us, but also you want us to trust that you have got this. Today, Lord, just be inhabited in our praise as we lift and exalt you up through your Son, Jesus, for it's in his name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
You seen anything in your life?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
You want to see it again?
Yes.
Yes.
Because if he did it before, he can
do it again.
Talk to some later.
I've seen darkness shattered by light. I've seen joy break after the night. I want to see it again. I've seen tragic and hopeless days turn to stories of amazing.
what he's done.
Hallelujah.
So that you know that he still can do it. Is he? Can he do it?
Yes.
Yes. Only will.
Yes, he will.
You may be seated in the Spirit of Passion. Do we have him?
Can I share a song? Mr. Visitor, can I share a song?
Yes. Come on. The church says?
Amen.
Yeah. Come on. Say, my Father, he's a great God. He's almighty God. He's creator of all things.
Yes.
Whatever you can imagine, he is so much more than that. He's a great God. He's almighty God, he's creator of all things. Whatever you can imagine, he is so more than that. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is our loving brother. He's our dearest and best friend. Where two or three are gathered in his holy name, he promised to be with us and revive our souls again.
He's a great God, he's almighty God. Creator of all things,
whatever you can imagine, he is so much more than that. Whoa, whoa, whatever you can imagine, he is so. And how he reigns eternally. The Son of the Father, the soon coming King. To every true believer, eternal life he comes to bring.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a great God, he's a mighty God.
Whatever you can imagine, he is so much more than that.
Whoa!
Announcer. And the announcements read as follows. On Monday, Bible class is at 6 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Teacher will be Deacon Oliver. No class on Tuesday, 4th of July. Wednesday, Bible reading class at 6 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio, and the teacher will be Deaconess Rebecca Johnson. Friday at 7 p.m., Bring Back the Family, headed by Deaconess Kathy Clyburn. Pray for all the sick and shut-in in our country, especially our leaders, and pray for all families, especially the Cooper family. Happy birthday to all the Julys. Woo! Minister Sarah Tate McClendon, which was on yesterday, July 1st. And little Harley is on July the 4th, who will be turning 7 years old. Keep one another in prayer as we go forward this week, and welcome to all visitors, and please visit us again. We hope you are blessed by the word and song. You guys have a blessed day.
This month we are focusing on Darius and Cole, of course, Ed, Doris. Is Doris home?
Doris is still in the hospital.
She's in the hospital. Alex and, of course, Nedra as they prepare to leave us. Nico, Naomi. The Canadian wildfires, y'all, it's over 500 fires burning in Canada, if you hadn't noticed. And it's affecting all of us. So we need to pray. That's what you can pray for rain. And then some of you are familiar with Kathy and Floyd Tidney in Church of the Reformed Church of the Resurrection.
Yeah.
Kathy's mother, Margaret May, she's the white hair, one of the white haired ladies.
Yeah.
She went home to be with the Lord last week. 100 years old.
What?
God, her services are Saturday at Turning. I have information if you want to get it. It should be available for viewing on Friday. So if you get a chance, go by and be a blessing to them. Yeah, but God kept her all these years, amen?
Amen.
And y'all know what time it is. It is time for offering. Please see your deacons for assistance. And also during that time, make sure if you need a communion cup, you get one there on the table. But I think we'll make Deacon Maggie do double duty by passing out. Stand to your feet. We got a thing going, and so Tyrone's song was on point. He can do more than we can imagine because that's our God, right?
Yes,
so during this next song, our offering will be being collected. This is not a Christmas song. This is an all-year song, amen?
That's all right.
We can sing this song all year, so it's true all year. Jesus alive in the world every day. Walking the light every day. He's beautiful light, isn't he? Oh, maybe somebody can walk with him. to the world, y'all. But it should not be for us, who are his family, who get to come to the day table to feast. It's time for communion.
What about the
They forgot. Don't remind them, because they usually don't go out until after. They forgot what Sunday is. That's the beautiful thing about us not being like on YouTube with some being fit on we just ad lib and adapt as we go along.
Saying something to it.
We know it's not right.
Yeah. That's right.
All right. When I was driving in the car this morning, it was I was reflecting yesterday. I turned 33, and I kept asking the Lord, like, what's going on this year? This, you know, this is Jesus year. And he said, the wages of sin are death, is death. And he kept repeating that in my mind. And I'm like, what's going on? He said, you have to be grateful for the bread of life, because the wages of sin is death.
Amen.
And so if it wasn't for Christ giving his bread, his body, and his blood, we wouldn't be able to stand here and even be grateful.
Yes, right.
Right? And so, as shallow as I wanted to be on my own birthday, God was like, no, you have to remember me. The wages of sin is death. And you sin every single day. And so, as we take the bread and the cup, you take the bread, remember that Christ gave his body. And if it wasn't for his body, we all would be in hell. Right? And as we drink the cup, remember that the blood that was shed on Calvary saved your soul from him.
Yes.
And so be grateful every day, not just on your birthday.
Right.
Thank God every day for giving his body and his blood for your sacrifice. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be able to say thank you for the sacrifice that you gave. We thank you for every family that's represented here, Lord, and we ask that you bless them with a special blessing, Lord, and a reminder of what you did on the cross for their soul. Remind them that they need to remind their families, Lord, and their neighbors, Lord, and the children, Lord, and anybody around them about what you did on the cross for us way back on Calvary.
Yes.
We thank you again for your sacrifice, and we ask you to bless the minister as he comes and bless the praise team and everybody involved today. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Keep standing. You know, I just felt the songs today. They're lifting him up. They're reminding us of who he is and what he done. I mean, communion is to remember what he's done.
Amen.
And then, if you grew up, I love this song. This is your song.
This is my song. I've searched the world, but it couldn't find me. Man's empty brain. Together, and every desire.
I'm not. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, and I'm 7 days old on this job.
We thought that was great.
I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord."
Amen.
That's Psalms 122, verse 1, and I'll be reading from the NLT version. Let me take a moment to say how much I love my church.
Amen.
A church of teaching, learning, and doing. A church where you can come as you are. The services are short, and the classes will elevate you.
Yes, yes they will.
I am pleased to introduce our very own shepherd, who is determined to be an example of modest living and obedient service, an author of a stack of books, a teacher and patient minister. Let us listen carefully, process and obey the words of God through the mouth of our pastor, Gerald Marshall Overall, who has prepared a feast for the nourishment of our inner man.
Yes.
May we all be transformed and have our minds renewed as we digest the teaching of our text. And that will be from 1 Corinthians verse chapter 9, verses 13 through 18. And it reads as follows. Don't you realize that those who work in the temple get their meals from the offerings brought to the temple? And those who serve at the altar get a share of the sacrificial offerings. In the same way, the Lord ordered that those who preach the good news should be supported by those who benefit from it. Yet I have never used any of these rights. This is Paul speaking. And I am not writing this to suggest that I want to start now. In fact, I would rather die than lose my right to boast about preaching without charge. Yet preaching the good news is not something I can boast about. I am compelled by God to do it. How terrible for me if I didn't preach the good news. If I were doing this on my own initiative, I would deserve payment. But I have no choice, for God has given me this sacred trust. What then is my pay? It is the opportunity to preach the good news without charging anyone.
Amen.
That's why I never demand my rights when I preach the good news. Amen.
Amen.
So repeat after me. Pastor O.
Pastor O.
Break it down
for me. Break it down.
Amen. Good morning. How is everybody? All right. All right. Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you, praise team. Amen. Praise team. You have to thank praise team. Why? Because they get you ready to hear the word.
Yes, they do.
We do a full worship. Prayers, preaching, teaching, all of that goes, all that's worship. Amen. So we worship God. Amen. Good to see everybody this morning.
Amen.
Did you have a nice smoky week? Amen. Amen. Oh, hey, don't, hey, it could have been worse. I had to be in the house with my wife all week long. Amen. And then it got worse. Lolo, her car broke down. She couldn't even leave. I'm like, Jesus, what are you doing to me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. She's here, Jesus. I'm like, what are you doing here? Amen. You're talking. Woo! But when that smoke cleared, she went to get up out of there, and then the starter wouldn't start. I'm like, Jesus.
Oh,
I said, well, she'll be home. Jesus said, no, you're going to have to take her where she's going. I'm like, that truck getting fixed real quick. Man, praise the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today, and we praise your holy name. Father, we thank you for giving us again an opportunity to be in your house and to hear your word. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you help us to get and memorize and place into action everything that we learn from this word today. Mm. Let us live it out in our everyday life. So as the song we sang, Jesus is the light of the world. Well, Jesus, you seated at the right hand of the Father. So yes. If the world going to see the light, they're going to see it emanating from us. Yes. If you see it, we're the light of the world. You see it, we're the salt of the earth. Mm. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be that. Yes. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If the world don't know Jesus, it's because we ain't telling them. Because they ain't going to find Jesus on their own. So that little crazy relative you got there, yeah, I wish you knew Jesus. Well, you better tell them. Tell them about Jesus. Instead of waiting and hoping they just, amen. Amen. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears.
Lord, bless my ears.
So they hear your word today.
So they hear your word today.
And bless my heart.
And bless my heart.
So it receives your word today.
So it receives your word.
Because I acknowledge to you
that
my ways and thoughts are not like yours. But I'm here today to be transformed. Change the way I think
according
to your word. So I can always know what you're good.
Good,
pleasing, and perfect will is for my life. Now that right there will preach itself. Good, pleasing, and perfect will for my life. God has a good, pleasing, and perfect will for our lives. The problem is we got a will for our lives. And these two conflict. But Jesus solved that problem. Mother, you know what he said? Deny yourself. Oh, well, yes. You're out of the picture.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do I do, Jesus, after I deny myself? Take up the cross, my word, and follow it. Amen. See how easy he made it for us?
Yes.
Because we're always, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that, I ain't this, I ain't that. Well, that doesn't matter. You don't matter. Deny yourself. Read the word of God, understand what it says, and apply it to your life. Then you'll please God. You'll please yourself. Because I don't know if you know this, but God knows what makes you happy.
Amen.
That's why he had not placed it on the heart of a human being or the heart of a husband to make his wife happy or the heart of a wife to make her husband happy. It's not their job. It's the Lord who makes me happy. One of my teachers, he was a Jesuit priest, Catholic, this Christian history teacher. And we were coming down to the close of history. And they brought him in to speak on it. And one of the things he said really stuck with me, even more so than my teachers who from Princeton and other schools. These are people who the Lord sent me to learn from. He said, life is not about amassing a bunch of things and relics to make yourself happy. But he believed what makes our soul happy is the Lord alone and not the stuff that the Lord made. And that stuck with me. True happiness comes from God. Only God can make you happy. How many people have done this, that, and the other, and you attempted to make yourself happy? And how did that work out? It just created a nightmare. Amen. Amen. So God is the one that makes us happy. Now, we've been dealing with and preaching through a series on 1 Corinthians. Actually, the Lord asked me a while ago, preach through the New Testament. Because I kept begging him for my sermon early. When I go home on Sunday, I want my sermon for next Sunday. Because I don't want to be waiting till like Jonathan get his 3 o'clock in the morning the day he got to preach. My nerves ain't that strong. I'll have a nervous breakdown. So, geez, you're going to tell me a week out. Okay, and I kept worrying him so much until Shirley got to the place where he said, preach through the New Testament. When you get done, ask me for your next sermon. So that's what we're doing. We're preaching through the New Testament, starting with the epistles. Okay, because they teach us how to live the Christian life. Okay, and so we're doing it by the date the books were written. And so we went through Galatians, because it was written in AD 49. We went through James. It was written at the same time. And then we went to Thessalonians, because it was written around AD 50, because people had a misunderstanding about the end times. And now we find ourselves in Corinth, because it's written in AD 55, but the church was planted in AD 50. So just to bring us up, because we left off in chapter 8 and now we're in chapter 9. But just to refresh your memory, Paul introduced himself in the outset of his letter. Paul, an apostle of Christ by the will of God. And we understand that Paul used that salutation, that introduction, because he was the 13th apostle, right? He was the one who did not walk with Christ during his lifetime. He wasn't there for the Bible classes, the Sunday schools, or whatever. He wasn't there. And so the 12 or 11 left after Judas went to where he belongs, okay? They had made up a rule. And that rule was, whoever wants to become an apostle of Christ. Now, there's a difference between an apostle and an apostle of Christ. An apostle of Christ is someone who Jesus Christ chose himself. He picked them, right? Now, other apostles are like Barnabas, like Titus, like Mary Magdalene. These are apostles, but not apostles of Christ, because you can only have 12 of those who Christ chose. Have I not chosen you, what? 12, and yet one of you is the devil. He was talking about Judas, John chapter 6, right? But he replaced him. They took the dice in, and they're like, you know, we need another apostle to replace Judas. Scriptures and said this was going to happen. So what they hit for, so they threw the dice, and Matthias got the job. So the argument then became, is Paul the 12th apostle or the 13th apostle? And that's when we get to chapter 9, if the Lord's will, and we get there today, if we get to chapter 9, you're going to see where this argument really bust out. It just bust out the gate. Paul got tired of being treated like a secondhand Christian. He got tired of it, and so he said, look, we need to talk. And here's the deal. We know that all scripture is given by inspiration of who?
God.
Okay, so God let Paul bring this argument into the Bible. Why y'all treating me like a secondhand citizen? Just because I used to sell dope, come off sell yet? Y'all trying to treat me like I ain't no real preacher. That's the argument that he's going to have later. Okay, so he introduces himself, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, for y'all who think I ain't one. Because see, Paul ain't had no good past. Tyrone, his past wasn't good. He was just yesterday, dude, you was killing Christians and throwing them in jail. Now you over here talking about having Jesus come by y'all. Come, we don't understand you. Okay, so you got to understand, they had a problem with Paul. He was a persecutor of the church. And now he's an opponent. He's on his team. He's on our side. But we don't believe that. And so they're treating him funny. Okay? So he writes this book to the Corinthians to introduce himself to them again, reintroduce himself to them, because some folks were coming through that church saying, you know, your boy, you know, we the stuff. Him? No, listen to us. But that argument grows and when we get to 2 Corinthians, and we'll talk about that then. So in chapter 1, he tells them they have all of the gifts, and they're in operation in that church. But they got a problem. Jeffrey, a lady named Chloe, came to visit Paul after visiting the church in Corinth. Okay? And he told Paul, them people got problems over there. I don't think they're maturing as Christians right. Okay? He says that there is division among them. Whenever you see division in the church, you're looking at spiritual maturity, immaturity in operation. You're looking at the devil finding the immature Christian in the church to sow seeds of division. Amen. To sow seeds of discord. And why? Because he heard when the Lord said that a house divided against itself cannot do what? Amen. Don't let the devil use you to divide up your church or your Christian community.
Amen.
Ever.
Amen.
Don't ever. It ain't never God's will to tear up the church. It's never God's will to do that. Unless the church is tore up, and then you don't need to tear it up because it's tore up anyway. It ain't going to fall. It ain't going to stand. Right? Because if it's tore up like that, divided like that, it's going to fall. So Paul was hearing from Chloe that these people are divided. Paul like, well, what are they divided over? Well, Mother Persia say, she worship you, Paul. And Mother Marilyn say, well, she worship Peter. That's her boy. And Mother Cheryl say, she worship Apollos. And then Mother Irma, she ain't talking to none of them because she say, I worship Jesus. Ain't none of y'all people as good as my Jesus. So there's division. Even though all of these people were given to this church to help them to mature and become all God called them to be, the devil has crept in there and said, oh, you don't like that preacher, you like that one. And because you like that preacher and they don't, you don't like them. You don't, that they wrong, they got it all wrong. So you shouldn't deal with them. That's division. Immature Christians always sow division. But guess what? The Lord hates those who sow discord among the brethren. Don't let the devil use you to sow discord. Don't ever let the devil use you to incite a riot in the church. Amen? Because this wasn't happening out in the streets. This is happening in the church. These are saved people. They got saved in AD 50. They've been saved 5 years and they're acting like this. So Paul recognizes they got a problem. He recognizes their problem come from immaturity. They're spiritually immature. And spiritually immature Christians act just like they were when they were not saved. Okay, now they just saved, but they're still crazy. They saved, they're still crazy. Okay, you become a mature Christian as you start doing what the Lord tells you to. Amen. Other than that, you're going to hear Pastor Terrence Tate preach his sermon again. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and what? And Jesus said, look, if you want to know who can call me Lord, these are the people who dig down deep in the Word of God. And when they dig down deep and they find out what the word really means and they interpret that thing right, they apply it to their lives. And when the devil show up with his wind, his rain, his storm, guess what? Can't do nothing with him. Why? Because they're on the rock. God would have to be defeated for you to be moved. But what happened when you're a Christian and your whole Christian life just on the sand? You don't go to no Bible classes. You don't do no home Bible study. You don't even listen in church, and you don't attend any church Bible class. And then here come the devil. Oh, you're in trouble. But guess what? You won't be eternally lost, but temporally you will be. Oh yeah, he'll get you tore up in this life. Yes, he will. But the word of God will keep you. So Paul recognizes they have a problem with spiritual immaturity.
Yes.
And so he says, look, let me tell you something. In the first place, y'all think we all that? We're not. The reason we are what we are is because God picked us. And we have, Paul said it himself, I am what I am, not because I sat at the feet of Gamaliel. Not because I went to this school or that school or was taught by these people or those people or I've done and read this. I am what I am how? By the grace of God.
Yes.
I'm up here as Pastor O by the grace of God.
Amen.
I had a plan for my life and it wasn't this. This wasn't even a dream. It wasn't imagination. It was nothing. It didn't ever come up. I ain't never say to somebody, John, guess what? Well, I'm going to be a preacher when I grow up. I ain't never say to nobody when I was 17, 18, I'm going to be a preacher next week. But that's what happened.
Amen.
So Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God.
Yes.
Apollo, Peter, okay? And even Jesus, when he was saying, the works that I'm doing with these hands are what? Not mine, but whose?
The Father's.
He gave glory to God.
Amen.
And here they are giving glory to people who are trying to raise them up, even with Jesus. So they're divided. But Paul lets them know, God don't pick people because they're special. Or they awesome? God picked people because he wants to, for whatever reason he wants to.
Man.
And they're only going to become what God wants them to become by the grace of God.
Yes.
They can't in and of themselves become anything. Apart from me, how much can we do?
Nothing.
So Paul say, don't be tripping on us. He goes to chapter 2 and he tells them, you know what? The reason our eyes see, the reason our ears hear, because the reason we know what things God have in store for those of us who love him is because we have the Holy Spirit. Verse 10 says, we have these things because God has given us his Spirit. And the Spirit of God searches everything of God. And so Paul says, if you're going to cheer us, if you're going to do anything like that for us, then know that it's by the Holy Spirit. If I preach a word and you love that word and that word changes your life, yes. Give thanks to God.
Yes.
When my wife and I do anything for anybody,
yes.
I'm talking about in a big kind of way. I ain't talking about giving you something, a little gift thing, but in a big kind of way, amen. If anybody in here who has ever received anything from us, you know we told you, do not thank us. If you have to give thanks, thank God.
Amen.
Because, see, he placed it on our heart to do it. And then he gave us the stuff to do it. All we did was give it to you.
Amen.
Okay? All of the, like the mailman say, don't be hating on me because you got a stack of bills. I'm just the messenger. Amen. Talk to the people who sent you these bills. Amen. I just brought them to you. They paid me to bring you these bills.
I'm paying my bills.
How many people got a check in the mail and ran back outside to get a postman some money saying, you brought me this check, I'm going to give it. Uh-huh. Amen. So you didn't think about it like that then, right? Amen. Amen. So Paul tells them in chapter 2, look, if we are anything, it's because God is at work in us. In chapter 3, he comes to the crux of the matter. He says, I would love to speak to y'all as spiritual mature Christians, but I can't. I got to come in here with a milk bottle. I got to come in here with a baby bottle with a big old nipple on it. And when hopefully you don't bite the nipple off and there's milk everywhere. You don't even know how to drink out a bottle yet. You're over there chewing on the nipple, just tearing it up, milk spilling out everywhere. Baby milk, just it's something about baby milk. You don't like it on you, right? Amen. You don't like it, so it'll be sticky. You know, I'm all stuck up. Maybe honey milk. Amen. You get baby milk on, you be like, oh, amen. Like it was something. Oh, but do this and let them throw up down your back. Or catch some teeth and then let them put a hole in your neck. Amen. And not kill them. Amen. So Paul tells them, look, I would love to speak to y'all like spiritually mature Christians, and you're 5 years in the church. I should be able to. Dr. Tony Evans says Jesus matured his disciples in 3 years. He says we should be able to do it in 5. Amen. How many churches you know with Christians in it that's been there 5 years is mature? Amen. You know why? Because we get drunk off church. We get drunk off just going to church. I just go to church. I don't do nothing in that sermon. I don't even remember the sermon in the parking lot. I ain't doing none of that. But I did go, and God is pleased I went to church. No, God is only pleased when you start living like God wants you to live.
Amen.
If you want to please without faith, it's impossible to do what? Please God. And so the only way you can please God is by faith. And faith is what? Knowing what God said and doing it. Not knowing what he said without the doing it part, that's not faith. The devil know what God said. Does he do it? So what are we like when we know what God said and we don't do it? See, that's a 1 John 1:9 moment right there. I have a lot of them moments some days. But anyway, praise the Lord. Amen. If we're honest, come on.
Yes.
If we're honest, we have some 1 John 1:9 moments.
Yes.
But Paul is telling them, look, you are spiritually immature, and here's how I know. You don't be talking about I love Apollos. You don't even know Apollos. Do you know Apollos 24/7, 365? Just because he came over here and he's a real eloquent speaker, and he was in real life, okay, super eloquent. There was a man named George Whitefield. It was said of him that he could make a whole audience just fall out by the way he pronounced the word Mesopotamia. Unbelievable. He was some kind of a speaker, some kind of an orator. The only person that would even come close to him with, I can't think of his name right now, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He was one of the first preachers who taught me how to get up here and talk, because y'all know I have a coughing problem. Well, he, a long time ago, he taught me how to deal with that. Sometimes it works, sometimes it don't. But he was an eloquent speaker. But they say that George Whitefield, who came along with John Wesley, the Methodist Church founder, okay, they said that this man could just pronounce Mesopotamia and put everybody into amen. So Paul is saying, look, we are what we are by the grace of God, and we would love to speak to you about deeper things in Christ. You know how many pastors suffer not ever being able to get to the deep things of Christ because he can't get the church to mature up? They won't go to Bible class. They won't read the Bible at home. And if they do, they won't do what it's saying. And that means that person is not going to mature. So there are things that God wants the pastor to impart to the church, but he can't. Or she can't. Why? Because they're just not. It'd be like me trying to see what cat back there with homeo. Okay? It would be like me trying to explain finances to him. I want to teach him about finances and the importance of handling money. But how well do y'all think that'll go over? Look, he got running in his feet. Praise the Lord. Well, you preach about money, kids get running in their feet. But anyway, you see what I'm talking about? You get the point. Paul says, I want to talk to you about some deeper stuff. But I can't. Because you're still, I found you, you got saved, and you were here. This lady done come and told me all this stuff, you're still here. He says the very fact that you have these picks and choosers demonstrates you're immature. And then he warns them in the latter part of that chapter. All of us will stand before Jesus one day. See, it's easy to give an account to one another. Because we can't do nothing. Like my mama say, we ain't got no heaven or hell to put nobody in. So we really can't do nothing. Right? Y'all ain't think I remembered all that stuff, did you? Amen. Amen. But we don't. We don't have a heaven or hell to put nobody in. All of us, as it says in 2 Corinthians, I'm not trying to jump ahead. I think it's 5 and 10, or 6 and 10, one of them two. It says that 5 and 10, we all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us. If you've been listening to Tony Evans, he was talking about that. Every one of us is going to have to fess up to Jesus. It's easy to impress one another sometimes. But when you have to stand in front of Jesus and give an account of your Christian life, amen. Now, you're not about, it's not about you standing there trying to figure out should you get in heaven or not. You're already going to heaven. That's a done deal. But what did you do after you got saved? Dr. Tony Evans was talking about this morning, same thing I keep telling y'all. Either you're leading somebody to Christ, right? You're teaching somebody in Christ, right? Or you helping somebody in or outside the body of Christ? As Galatians 6:10 tells us, as often as we have what? Opportunity, let us do good unto all. Now, you don't have opportunity if they over there hungry and you ain't got no money or no sandwich, an extra sandwich. Or you even willing to tear the one you got in half. Okay? When they came to John the Baptist, they said, how do we demonstrate our Christianity? How do we demonstrate our repentance? Because his message was what? Repent, turn back to God, start being a child of God again. So they said, John, how do I do that? They said, well, John said, look, you standing here, you got one coat on, and you're holding one. Mm-hmm. See that man over there? He ain't got no coat. The one you brought to church with you that you're holding on to, I guess you wanted other people to see you got more than one coat. Go get that man a coat. That's how you demonstrate it. Amen. So all of us going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and it does not matter what your mama think or what your daddy think, what your family or friends think. Only what you do for Christ will last. Yes. Old folks just ran that through our ears over and over and over, right?
Yes.
Now, the reason that's said is because old folks knew that everything we did in this life was going to be put on God's conveyor belt of testing. Mm-hmm. Imagine this. It's your work. And they get down here on the conveyor belt. You standing in front of Jesus. All the work you've done after you got saved for Jesus is going to be placed on this conveyor belt. Now right here is God's furnace. His judgment furnace.
Yes.
The only thing that can make it through here is rubies, gold, silver, precious stones. They'll make it through. But all that other stuff, the wood, the hay, and the stubble, it ain't gonna make it through. So you can be down here with a whole pile of stuff. And after you go through God's fire of testing, you got a cap.
And you're like, wait a minute, what happened to the rest of all my life, all that living? Well, you weren't living for Jesus. You didn't do that for the Lord.
Wow.
It amounts to nothing. The only thing you can impress God with is what God told you to do.
Amen.
Who is he that did his father's will? The one who jump up all the time, I'll do it, I'll do it. And then you're waiting outside for them to show up and they don't. But who is he who did his father's will? I ain't doing that. You can jump on another plane, go to somewhere, I ain't doing that. And then, you know, Jesus been good to me. I don't want to do this, but because Jesus is so good to me, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
It's that person.
Yeah.
It's that person.
Yes.
So all of us going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
Yes.
And give an account of the things done in this body, whether good or bad. Amen. Just know this, the bad amounts to nothing.
Nothing.
It is wasted mind, wasted time. That's all it is. When I get ready to do something, is this going to give me eternal blessings or are these just temporal? Is this something I'm doing for Jesus or something I'm doing to try to please Jesus with?
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
It is impossible to please God without faith.
Okay.
Impossible. And so that means whatever you do, whatever you say needs to be by faith. Okay. Jesus said, I always do those things that please my Father. If you look at that word please, and we are connected to Hebrews 11, he always did those things that God approved of. He says, wherever the Father is, there is the Son also. So if God's got a position on anything in life, that's our position.
Yes.
So you don't have to ask me, Reverend O'Raw, what's your position on this? Well, what is God's position on that? That's my position.
Okay,
it don't mean I'm perfect. It just means I agree with God.
Amen.
When we confess our sins, the word confess simply means I agree with you.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
So in chapter 4, he's coming to a close with this immaturity issue. He says, here's how you should look at us. You should look at us as men who have been given a great responsibility. Men who have been tasked with the responsibility to preach and teach the word of God. Men who are filled with the Holy Spirit. And when I say men, I'm talking about whoever God used, man or woman. Okay? Men who are filled with the Holy Spirit to do the will of God. So don't praise us. Don't worship us. Worship God who
Amen.
Gave us.
All right.
Peter is yours. Praise God. Paul is yours. Praise God. Apollos and Jesus is yours. Praise God. There should be no division. But we should all be able to praise God. Amen. Like my wife, like Stephen Furtick. Amen. She was watching Stephen Furtick this morning. I love his clothes. Praise the Lord. I love his clothes. Amen. I love the way he dressed. How many saw Tony Evans this morning?
Yeah.
I mean, Tony Evans wearing a hoodie. That just almost fell on the floor. I'm like, oh, Jesus, they got him out the suit, got him in the hoodie. But he dressed kind of cool all the time, though. He is saying, look at us like these. We're just people who God raised up.
Yeah.
Hey, man, it's amazing how many people wished I would go to hell when I was selling their family dope, ruining their father. He couldn't be a father no more because I got him hooked on dope. Okay, she can't be a mother no more because I got her hooked on dope. And rightfully so, maybe they should have wished I'd gone to hell, but maybe they should have done what my mother and father did. Lead me to Christ.
Amen.
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 Do that. Amen. Pray for Jesus to take over. Jesus take over. See, when Jesus took over, he fired me from selling dope. He was like, it's not a good look for a preacher. Preachers just don't do that.
All right.
You can't tell somebody Jesus loves you and then say, what you need? They say them two things don't go together. Okay, so you're going to have to get out of the game. Oh, Jesus, what am I going to do then to make money? You know, he told me, get a job. I'm like, job? Please, I'm out here getting paper in an hour, and these people want me to work all day for what I get in one sale. Right, you want to roll with me? So he is saying, look, we are who we are by the grace of God. Give God the praise for us.
Yes. Yes.
Then he turns to chapter 5. They have some problems living up, and spiritual immaturity shows up again. A boy is dating his mother. And ain't nobody in the church saying nothing. Put that kind of look on your face. This boy is dating his mother. And you think nobody in the church knows it's a secret family thing. Paul says, y'all proud. This boy over here dating his mama and y'all proud. You're like, look, here's how you handle that deal. This is how you handle that. What you do is you put that boy out. You take the excommunication process that Jesus gave us. He said, one of y'all go to him. See if you can get this boy to think straight. Man, stop dating your mama. You're crazy. Okay, go to him and talk to him. If he don't hear you, take two more. Me, Ed, and Rebecca. Look, dude. You need to stop dating your mama, man. Like we're going to scare him right here. Stop dating your mama, you know. He don't listen to none of us. He tell us to step off. And so we go tell him, well, we're going to go tell the church. And then we bring him in front of the church. And they tell the whole church to step off. Paul said, here's how you handle that. Excommunicate. So that the devil can have his way with them. In other words, we can't live, as a Christian, you can't live with the devil alone. Prodigal, the law of the straightaway sheep was in a horrible situation out there with the devil. Okay, can't even defend itself, and wolves all over the place. Can't even find food and water. In a horrible situation. Master went and got it. The other one got lost in the house. The devil got the coin, lost in the house. How many Christians you know lost in church? Amen. Praise the Lord. And then the third one tried to go off on his own and live in a far country, right? It didn't work. He just went straight downhill until he just had nothing left. And the Bible says no man gave him anything. You know why nobody gave him nothing? See, the devil would have gave him something to keep him there. But the reason nobody gave him nothing is so he would cry out for God. And he, guess what he did? Guess what his senses was, Tyrone? The word of God. He came to his senses and went back to his father's house. The Lord will do the same thing with us. And so Paul says, excommunicate him. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, around verse 5, he said, now look, don't leave him out there. That's not the purpose, is to kick him out the body of Christ. The purpose is to get rid of the sin in him.
Yes.
And so Paul says, we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. We don't want him to despair too long. He might get suicidal. What we want is the sin gone. That's what we want. We don't want them gone. We want the sin gone. And so Paul says, excommunicate him. Get him out. You don't want to listen to nobody? Put him out the church. Literally, you're not out the body of Christ. You don't have the power to do that. We don't have the power to kick somebody out of Jesus. But we can put them out of the congregation. And we have an obligation to do that. Okay? Now, I know you probably don't know of no church in these modern times who have actually excommunicated some Catholics. They do it all the time. But in the Protestant churches, that don't happen. Unless you're apostolic. Okay? Then you can be saved and unsaved. Like my friend, he got saved. We got saved at the same time. He joined the church. I ain't joined no church. He came and told me one day that he lost his salvation. I'm like, where? And he said that he sinned again. And I'm telling him, I'm standing there like, oh crap, leeches. I'm like, well, dude, I done sinned 15 times. Right. That's what I'm saying. He said, I said, who told you that? He said, Reverend Miles told me that. I'm like, Miles Church down there, just, don't go in there no more. Because see, I've been saying, since I've been saved, and I'm still saved, I don't know what happened to your salvation. He got mad with me, wanted to fight with me. I'm like, you about to lose more than your salvation. You about to lose all your teeth. Amen. You about to lose your teeth. Okay, I ain't that saved yet, so, hey man, hey man, you about to lose more than yourself, man. You don't need to, hey man, you don't fight me on my mama's porch, brother, please. They don't call him brother either, hey man. But then I'm dead. Hey man, hey man. So Paul says, look. Let the devil have his way with him. When he comes to his senses, bring him back into the fold. Then he'll be fixed up, right? And I know that we can think of a time in our lives where God let us go through. We can think of a time when we got to climb a little bit or a whole lot, and God let us go through. And after we got good, after enough of it, we said, Lord, help me. We like Peter, we walking on water, right? Halfway. And then all of a sudden, we're swimming. Okay. We're swimming. We've gone under. But what do we say to get out? Three words. Lord,
help me.
That's it. Lord, save me. And guess what, John? That's enough for Jesus to show up. Yes. You know, people hate it when Jesus show up because somebody said, Lord, save me.
Yes.
Sometimes we get mad because the Lord saved them, but we wanted more to happen to them. But they said the magic words, Lord, save me. Yes. Amen. Amen. They recognize they can't get out the situation. They recognize they need Jesus. Lord, save me. See, that's what the excommunication is all about. To that boy, say, Lord, save me. Yes. Till he comes to his senses and come back to God.
Yes.
Chapter 7 or 6, it gets kind of worse. Chapter 6, they've got two problems. They're defeated because they're taking each other to court. There's nobody wise enough among them to settle issues between them. Tyrone ran into me in the parking lot. He ran into me. Now we're in the unjust court trying to figure out who was wrong. As Christians, he says, dude, I'm sorry I ran into you. Here's my insurance information. I say, dude, accidents happen. Let's see how we can work this out. It never has to go into an unjust court. As Christians, we work it out between ourselves using the word of God to judge between us.
Wow.
Using the word of God to judge between us. Okay? So they're defeated on that one hand. And then in the second hand, they just, whatever their appetites are, they're filling them up. Whatever they want to do, they're doing it. Jesus says, look, you can't be uniting yourselves with a prostitute and me at the same time. In other words, you can't do wrong right. And they're trying to do wrong right. And it ain't working. Amen? And so he tells them, look, let me put it to you like this. You're the body of Christ, and you have the Holy Spirit living in you. You are the temple of God. You literally are the temple of God. He lives in you. Shall I take the Holy Spirit in me and go to a brothel? Shall I take the Holy Spirit in me and go to a sinful situation and drag him into it with me? One time, Jesus said, this is before Sheila. This is in between my marriage and before Sheila. I wanted to get with this girl, and it was on. And the way I got it on is used to I love you. And so now, you know, once I love you, we can do this, right? So we're going to do this. You know I'm a preacher. She know it. Okay, so we finna knock the boots. Jesus asked me, do you love her? Lolo, you know what I said? Yes, I do. He said, then why are you going to cause her to sin against me? Yeah, well, I was talking a whole lot before that. But after that, I was like, see, Jesus, that's one of those times when I told the Lord, see, Lord, you're messing my life up. I literally told Jesus, you know what I told him? I literally told him, you're changing everything about me. Like, well, that's kind of why I came in your way.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So what the Lord was saying is that we are God's temple. And Paul is closing his argument with them about what Chloe told him. All this is what that lady told him was going on in that church. All that. And so Paul says, look, you're the temple of God. Remember that. He lives in you. Like my mother used to tell me. Remember, me and your daddy got a good reputation in the neighborhood. When you go outside, you remember that. Don't you go out there and mess up our good name.
Amen.
Then my whole life in that name. You gonna run out there and mess it up with your ratchet self. Yeah, you can't even leave the house. They give you instructions. I got a name. Don't you mess it up. Amen. So we tried our best not to get in trouble. It did not work. But anyway. Amen. So he says, remember who you belong to. And in chapter 7, okay, my time is up. So, since I'm not through, amen. Since this is a series, I don't have to get through. We'll be praying. Go ahead, baby Holy Ghost. We will, that's why I call her baby Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will be like, she's out of hell. She talk faster than I do. But anyway, amen. We'll pick this up and continue on to chapter 9. So hold on to chapter 9. You get to read. June explained that to you. You get to read it again. Amen. Just say, June, he didn't even get to the chapter. Oh, Rebecca.
Same name, huh?
Same name. I mean, what's the difference? June, Rebecca, right? They sound the same. And they even sit in the same place. So I got confused. Amen. But
okay, you're allowed.
Praise the Lord. Anyway, okay, all of these sermons are taped. And the reason they're on my website is because I post the preachers here on our website. And if you've been to our website to look at the recorded sermons, it's a lot of them on there. So if I put all mine on there, page would be a million miles long. So all of these sermons are recorded and free. All you have to do is go to my website, PastorGMO.com, and click on Sermons by Pastor O. And you can just have at it. Amen?
Amen.
And we'll pick up where we left off last week. We're going to be talking about those folks. Well, we'll continue to review, and then we'll get to chapter 9, find out what Paul was so mad about that made him, in the middle of this book, Mac, he just went, boom! That's it, I can't take no more. And the Lord allowed him, praise the Holy Ghost, the Lord allowed him to bring this argument into the Bible. We're going to look into that next week, amen?
Amen.
Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Father, we thank you that you didn't just save us, but you gave us a word to live by. We thank you that the Holy Spirit has made a temple out of these bodies that we live in. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we allow him to live in us, live through us, speak through us, act through us, have his way with us. Father, we got a plan for our lives. And you have a plan for our lives. But sometimes your plan calls for us to have amazing courage. Your plan calls for us to be self-empty. Your plans calls for us to say, your will, not mine. And that's the problem, Father. We love our will, and we don't know much about yours. So help us, Lord, to see the benefit in doing what you say, because Father, when we think of what you say and we think of what we want to do, somehow we want to do what we do, but what you say is the right thing. And what we want to do is not going to help us. It's not going to make our life better. We always think it is, but it don't. It just makes a horrible life worse. So help us, Father, to follow your word. Help us to see what you have said and then pray to you by the power of the Holy Spirit to live it out in our daily lives so that we are the light of the world, so that we are the salt of the earth. Hold us, Lord, until we meet again. In Jesus' name, we give you all the thanks, the honor, and the glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. From whom apples come from. I was going to say all the things, but apples just popped up.
I'm
They coming. That group, but no, we're not.
Yeah.
harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That all God's people say?
Amen! Amen.
Have a good week, Auntie. Have a blessed week. You too. Have a blessed week. You, Lisa. Bless you,
Oh, this is it right here, girl. Bring your own. We got the Muppets, ain't we? Y'all can't see this. See, that's what you're supposed to have. Watch them. Bring them up with them. Index cards. Hey,